Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. It's Monday, so how do you feel? Great? I don't care.
Tim, guess how many boobies I saw today? 15!
And you fall over and pass out.
Yep, I knew you'd get there. As soon as you said, we're talking between the episodes,
that's right.
And an odd number of boobs came up, and every time I hear an odd number of boobs, I think of Homer saying, Marge, guess how many boobs I've seen today? 15! And he passes out. Oh, so good.
Simpsons podcast coming in the five-year future.
Yeah. You can demand it. For every 100 demands, we'll take a year off.
There you go. Demand it, people.
Yeah.
Vote with your demands.
Yeah. Hashtag Simpsons podcast.
Yeah. Get on it. We'll do it. I will watch Simpsons episodes ad nauseum. You got it.
Capes and dough.
Capes and dough. I'll do it. I'm in. I like it. Well, Max, it's time to talk about movies now. Unless
please.
And not The Simpsons unless you watch The Simpsons movie.
I have watched it before, but I don't intend to watch it again.
No. It's not super great.
It's not. I always say I laughed the amount of times The Simpsons movie as I used to in one episode of The Simpsons when it was good.
Oh, wow.
Which was a lot, but man, the fact that they could, in 22 minutes, sure, could make me laugh that much, and then the movie was like, this is an hour and 45 minutes, and I laughed as much as I did in 22 minutes, which it wasn't bad. Like, I laughed at parts, but...
I saw a thing, to go on a tangent, of one of the animators who worked on that movie, and he was saying that, I don't remember where I watched this, somewhere on YouTube, and he was talking about animation in general. Might have been Corridor Crew. Anyways... They don't need my help.
No, they don't.
But they were talking to an animator about different animation, and he worked on that movie, and they said, you know, you've done a good job. You want to animate yourself in. And he's the guy who isn't sure which side of the dome he wants to be on and gets splatted by the dome.
Oh, neat.
That was one of the animators.
Oh, that's fun.
That's how he animated himself in.
That's pretty great.
Anyways, let's talk about movies. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Who went first last? I went first last time.
I don't remember.
You go first this time.
I go first this time?
Sure.
I'm doing a weird thing with my shoulders.
You are. I'm jealous you can do that with your shoulders.
It hurts me too, but not like it would hurt you. You got a pinched nerve.
I would pass out.
All right, so here's a movie. I've seen a bunch in my youth. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I just haven't revisited it in a while.
Don't lie. The last movie you talked about on the last episode was the first movie you ever saw.
This is a series of lies, buddy.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just going to compound.
God, it's like a web.
It is a web. And then I go see Padre, and he absolves me, and it's
done. Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, Padre's... Hi, Padre. You're such a sweet, beautiful man. Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Ooh.
I don't know when I watched it, but I sure did.
Good.
This is from 1993. The IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 44 minutes, adventure comedy musical. A little bit.
Yeah.
Directed by Mel Brooks.
Of course.
Good old Mel Brooks. He worked on a lot of great shows and movies, but a lot of people forget he worked on shows.
That's right.
Starring Cary Elwes. I did it right.
Yes.
Yes. Richard Lewis. Roger Reeves?
Mm-hmm.
Man, my writing is bad. And Dave Chappelle. Very early Dave Chappelle.
Yep.
IMDb summary, a spoof of Robin Hood in general and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves from 1991 in particular.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I love this movie. It's a good Mel Brooks movie. It's slapsticky.
It's one of my early Mel Brooks exposures, so I have
a lot of
people.
It's a lot of people's, yeah. Because Mel Brooks had a ton in the 80s, and he kind of, like, wasn't there as much, and then this was, like, his big comeback movie, I want to say.
Yeah, I feel like the 70s were pretty prominent Brooks, then, like, Spaceballs, and then...
Right, and then, like, nothing for a bit.
Yeah.
So this was a lot of... And, you know, Chappelle was up and coming.
Yes.
And, God, he probably would have been like 20-ish or something. Like,
he was so
really
young.
Up and coming.
Did you say Abe Lincoln? Hey, Blinken.
Hey, Blinken. Hold yeah, he man. Has some of the best lines in the whole thing.
He does.
Just by playing that black guy,
yep.
Essentially.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you haven't seen, my first bullet point, if you haven't seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I feel like a lot of the jokes are going to fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You don't like it, I can tell.
Not so much. I like Alan Rickman.
Hey, Alan Rickman's great, isn't he?
Yeah. Not so much into like Bryan Adams' score with Kevin Costner.
I know he got all the money. We've talked about it. But I don't know. I'd have to rewatch that movie. I don't remember hating it like you did, but I don't remember loving it either.
Right.
But I would love to rewatch that because this is very much that movie, beat for beat.
Yes.
So if you've seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, you will get so much more out of this movie.
Sure.
And that movie was red hot from a year earlier.
It was.
They were probably starting production when that was going on, and they're like, oh, we're so stealing that. Like, Morgan Freeman's character in that is Isaac Hayes in this.
Yes.
So good. There's a lot of really cool things. But anyways, Cary Elwes is great.
Yes, he is.
But you know who the star of the rewatch was? Whoever played Little John. Little John is amazing. And he doesn't get enough credit because I laughed at him more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. He just He's just this huge. Yeah, I made that up.
So good.
Just a huge jack dude, and he just has really good comedic timing.
I agree.
Fun cast, including Richard Lewis, Patrick Stewart, Tracy Ullman. So good in this.
Oh, yeah.
And Mel Brooks himself. I love Tracy Ullman.
Mm-hmm.
Again, The Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Tying it all in, but Tracy Ullman, so underrated.
You know we planned all this before the episode started.
We don't plan shit.
We were literally talking about boobs.
We do.
That was the
outside
was
of it. Plans involving boobs, that's all we got.
That was it, boobs.
Boob plans. I just Tracy Ullman, man. She just doesn't get enough love. Like she was so acclaimed in the late 80s and then just like nothing.
Agreed.
And I don't understand that. I think Tracy Ullman pretty good.
I concur.
Tracy Ullman, get at me. Let me know. We'll get a sweet Shout Factory DVD compilation of your old show.
Yeah.
That's probably something we can make happen, right? Shout Factory, you love us?
Yeah.
You love
they
us?
Should.
They I think they do.
Why wouldn't they?
They're just very secretive about their love.
They are.
I wish this would get revisited. I know Mel Brooks is old as fuck.
He really is.
He's very old, but he's in his 90s, yeah. mid-90s probably at this point. Like he's up there.
Yeah.
But like he doesn't revisit anything. Like this and Spaceballs would be so much fun.
That was forever the thing, was where they're actually going to sequelize Spaceballs.
Could you imagine what if he dies? Hypothetically, I'm going to fantasy book this.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Brooks naturally dies whenever he dies.
Right.
And there's just already a Spaceballs 2 made and it gets released upon his death. That'd be amazing. It's more of an Andy Kaufman thing to do.
It is, but I mean, you never know, right?
You never know with him. He's great.
He is great.
But this movie has a lot of slapsticky humor. It has some clever jokes hidden among the nonsense. And Chappelle's so good.
There's so much absurdness that is hilarious for some reason. I'll take this cotton ball from you with my hand and put it in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what the and like, why do I laugh at it?
It's just so silly.
It's so good.
Blinken, the blind.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So good.
He's more slapsticky, but he has some moments.
He does.
I'll tell you. It's just, as an ensemble cast, it's just pretty solid. Pretty good.
I agree.
If you've never seen it, please do. It's what a lot of people probably, besides The Princess Bride, what else do you think of Cary Elwes for?
Saul.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not, don't do that. That's fine. Saul 1 is fine.
Saul 1 is fine. I agree. But that's it. IMDb gave it a 6.7. Rotten Tomato critics, 42 of them went back and gave it a 40%.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes indeed. 322,000 some odd people gave it 81%, and I give it the old 6.0.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
I think it's fine.
Yep.
It's the thing. It still held up. I knew some of the jokes. It still made me laugh.
Agreed.
It was good.
Had a laugh.
Hey, I had a larf.
So I watched a movie from slightly before that, 1988.
Ooh.
And it's going to start a thing.
Oh, boy.
And it's not going to come in any particular order, or it's not even going to be sequential.
Okay.
So I decided I wanted to go back and watch movies from this particular series. I did it at random in the true Tapes and Scowls tradition.
Oh, you rolled a die?
Random number. I just had Sam pick a number between 1 and X.
Oh, God.
I didn't tell her why.
Perfect.
So she would pick she picked the order for me. And I just watched them as they came up, sprinkled into my movie watching. So you're going to get all of these eventually. I will throw it out there. If we get the demand for it, I will do a mini-sode where I chronicle all of them properly.
Ooh.
And I'll give you, you know, you'll get my ranking over time, but I'll give you a proper ranking and everything if you guys want it.
Nice.
For the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And yeah. I started with Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. For the Dream Master.
Dream Master.
I watched this on 420.
Oh,
blaze it.
Sam.
Minutes, 1 hour, 39 of them.
Sam.
It is a horror movie.
Sam.
It was directed by Rennie Harlan.
Sam.
And
Sam.
It stars...
Not Sam.
Sam.
Robert Englund.
Oh, him.
Tuesday Night. And Lisa Wilcox.
Tuesday night.
So the movie summary is child murderer Freddy Krueger returns to kill off the rest of the Elm Street children and extend his grasp to new victims. This movie is batshit. It's so bizarre. So this movie got made during the writer's strike.
Okay.
And so they just kind of had to make the movie as they went. And it really started the trend of what the movie started to feel like, where it went from set piece to set piece, almost like an action film. This movie's bonkers as fuck, though. They based it on a Chinese ghost story, which if you've never seen is completely awesome and worth your time.
Interesting.
So it's this like hyper crazy, fed into like the MTV, they call it the MTV Freddy, where it's just like this hyper, like kids are going to love this. It's like all over pop culture. It's just a complete nutty film. It has so much so much energy and it's so interesting that I think it kind of makes up for the shortcomings, of which there are many. Tuesday night, taking Patricia Arquette's role was the first of them, where it's just like, who is this person? She's supposed to be the same person. The other two people are the same actors, but this one's not.
Who doesn't love the Arquettes?
I...
All right.
But it's just a really madcap movie.
Love that.
Yeah, it's out there. There's so many bizarre kills. It's got one of my favorite kills where the kid's sleeping in a waterbed that's just like a see-through waterbed to the water, and a naked woman comes up under his bed, and then Freddy comes up and kills him. It's got the best one-liner of, how's this for a wet dream?
Oh,
that's
so good.
So good. It's a hoot. The movie is so completely insane, though, but it feels like a nightmare because it's completely unhinged.
Robert Englund's so good in these.
He is awesome.
This definitely is like the Bugs Bunny version of him.
This is where it starts to pivot, no doubt. Dream Warriors, they started to make him more funny than scary, and then
that's what was working.
Then this one, then by six, we'll get there. We'll get to Freddy's Dead
eventually.
Yeah, at some point we'll get
some
to Freddy's
point,
Dead.
Sam, some point.
Yep. IMDb gives us a 5.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 30 of them came back and gave this a 53%. The audience, 246,617 Fred heads coming in with 43%.
Huh.
And I am going to be higher than everybody on this one at a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, it was April.
Yeah, was. It's definitely one of the lesser Elm Streets, but it gets much worse than this.
Well, Max, I know you love segues.
Yes, I do.
And I bet you didn't think I could make one.
Mm-mm.
But my movie is from 2020.
Okay.
And I rented this. I was so excited for this to come out. I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I said, the minute I can rent it, and thanks to the pandemic, I could rent it instantly through Amazon.
Okay.
You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
Aha!
Segway!
Yes. What a strange idea for a movie.
This is fantastic.
Okay.
I was so pumped to see this because I remember this. We'll get there. In an hour, 30 minutes, it's the perfect time.
Perfect time.
I don't know when I watched it. It was whenever that came out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Genre, documentary sport, directed by David Darg and Prince James. Oh, Price James. Prince is better.
I like Prince, yeah.
Yeah. Starring David, Patricia, Courtney Cox, everybody in this.
Everybody who knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. IMDb summary, actor David Arquette attempts a rocky return to the sport that stalled his promising Hollywood career. Bullet points. I was so excited for this movie's release.
Yep.
A real life redemption story that is fantastic, even if it kind of feels a little hammed up for the cameras at times.
Sure.
The sport is wrestling, people.
Mm-hmm.
Pro wrestling. So much of the wrestling stuff is explored, and you will feel many strong emotions for David Arquette. So those who don't know, back in WCW days, the end of that era, the late 90s, David Arquette was promoting Ready to Rumble.
Yes, he was.
Which tied in with WCW wrestling. And as a publicity stunt, they gave him the World Heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
Every wrestling fan ever hated him forever because of it.
Yep.
They were pissed. The funny thing is, David Arquette didn't want the belt. He demanded they don't give him the belt. They gave him the belt anyways.
Interesting.
So now it's him trying to get back in the good graces. They even talked to DDP. He does some DDP yoga and gets in shape, of course.
Nice.
Eric Bischoff, who was in charge of WCW, shows up and he's like, oh yeah, that was totally me. That's not his fault.
Holy shit.
He's like, yeah, no, that was me.
Wow.
That was all my fault. I wish I didn't do it. I did it. It was me.
Wow.
So like all these things you don't hear, that would instantly make it like, oh man, I feel bad for him. You're getting all of it. They talk to everybody.
That's cool. That's cool they all did it too.
They all do it. And David, so he goes to a, he's like, I'll just go to get some pictures made and go to a wrestling convention. Zero people go up to talk to him.
Oh wow.
All the wrestlers mean mug him. Some of them spit on him. They hate him.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow.
Then he goes to a wrestling match and he's like, can I just be in the hall and just like talk to people? And they're like, no. And they don't let him in.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no. They're like, fuck you. You ruined wrestling. Like the wrestlers are like, no. I think that was one of the Nasty Boys was booking that.
Oh, wow.
I was like, he wasn't even part of WCW at the time.
No, he was not.
He was friends with Hogan. So then it goes on he's like, all right, well, I got to figure out how to get it. He's like, I'll just learn to wrestle for real.
Interesting.
So he starts training to pro wrestle. And it's wild. You see his training. He builds a ring in his backyard. His wife's like, you're insane, but I love you. Go have at it.
Yeah.
You see he has a lot of mental health issues with him at the point where they start filming. And you see him kind of get better through this redemption arc with
neat.
The wrestling. He takes bookings, doesn't get paid. He gets beat up in a backyard wrestling match.
Wow.
He's like, man, what am I doing wrong? He goes to Mexico. DDP's like, I'll get you in shape. I'll take you somewhere in Mexico. They'll teach you. He's taught by luchadors. They give him a mask.
Holy shit.
They literally go out and to stop traffic on a highway, and it's like this long light, and they start doing lucha libre matches in the middle of the road.
And then they
grab mutt change from the people in the cars, and he's like taking chair shots and stuff. It's wild.
Holy shit.
You would not believe the stuff that happens in this movie. I loved it.
Wow.
Loved every second of it. I won't give it all away. There's some ups. There's some downs. He damn near dies.
That's awesome.
They touch upon Luke Perry. Luke Perry is in it.
Yeah.
One of the darker moments of the movie, Luke Perry is there for him. It was pretty interesting. I don't want to give it away, but it's
cool. Sideshow Luke Perry.
Sideshow Luke Perry. Also, little known fact, Luke Perry's son is a pro wrestler.
Oh, is that true?
He's in AEW.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, all I can say is I was so incredibly excited to watch this movie. I was so excited.
It doesn't sound like you were let down.
I wasn't let down either. It is a little hammy at times. For some reason, there's a Limp Bizkit song in the middle and just took me right out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, training montage with Limp Bizkit, please. It's the only known artist that shows that. I was like, come on, man.
Gotta be better than The Fanatic, I'm sure.
Everything's better than The Fanatic.
I'll agree, except for Killer Waves.
Damn near everything. IMDb gave this a 7.2.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 45 of them, fairly recent release, so 87%.
That's pretty good.
37 audience members for Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 95%.
Okay.
And I'm giving it a 9.0.
Nice. That's big.
This movie is so good. I loved it because I follow wrestling. I remember all this happening. I remember being like, fuck David Arquette. And then I still went and saw Ready to Rumble in the theaters anyways.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I think people who don't like wrestling should really watch this because you'll see the other side of it.
That's cool.
And it's just this crazy big arc. It's awesome. Super awesome.
It's up there with Hamilton and Manborg.
It is. There, it's select company, the things I like the most.
Uh-huh. Man. So, 1985, Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2.
Two.
Freddy's Revenge.
I'm thinking in my head, Dream Warriors was later, I think.
Watch this 420, you better blaze it.
Yes, Sam!
1 hour, 37 minutes, and it's a horror film directed by the useless Jack Shoulder, starring Mark Patton, who's great, Kim Myers, who's also great, and the just legendary Clue Gallagher.
There you go.
It's just a fantastic group of folks. The summary for this one is a teenage boy is haunted in his dreams by Freddy, who is out to possess him in order to continue his reign of terror in the real world.
Whoa.
Which sounds kind of cool. He's relegated to the dream world. He wants to escape through a vessel.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Cool idea. Movie is horrible.
Oh, no.
I don't know if this is my least favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie, but it very well may be my least favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Outside of Kevin Yeager's amazing effects work in this movie, it's really got so little going on. It's real obvious to me that Jack Shoulder took this as a paycheck job.
Mm.
He is worthless. He's a piece of shit. I'll get to the documentary that's associated with all these movies, which I included in my random order, which is called Never Sleep Again. Dude comes off as such a douchebag.
Nah.
Just seems like he just hates everything, and he had a miserable time making this movie. He did a miserable job making this movie. When one of your scares is a house pet bird that explodes, it's not good. Some of the shots are ridiculous. The gym teacher gets whipped to death by towels in this film. It is hot garbage. He just has no eye for what's scary. There's a scene where he is at a pool. There's all these kids at a pool party, and Freddy's at the pool party trying to kill kids, and he's just clomping around. And most of the teenagers are bigger than Robert England. And so he's just clomping around. He's like, "Oh, my children now." And it's just this is terrible. This is not scary. It's not good at all.
Did he have flip-flops on?
He might as well have. In part four, he wears sunglasses because he's on the beach, which is great.
That's just great.
Yeah, this is terrible. Although this is some of my favorite Freddy makeup because they make him look like a witch and they give him a hook nose and everything.
He looks
crazy scary and they do nothing good with him.
That's a shame.
It's really bad. The movie has built up a cult following because it's got a very homosexual bent to it.
Okay.
And it's picked up with audiences who think that it's kind of about trying the dangers of coming out and things that you have to overcome as a homosexual male trying to, come out of the closet which is neat, but I think the fans just read way too much into it. The filmmakers who were involved, the writer and everything, had no idea it was that level. They were we didn't know what we were doing. So it's it's cool that it ended up and you can take that subtext and kind of apply it to your own life and whatever empowers you, let it empower you. That's
absolutely
great. But I don't think that was the intention here, and I don't give it any credit for any of that because I think that was all accidental. IMDb gives this a 5.5 out of 10.
That seems high.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 29 of them give it a 41%.
That seems closer.
Audience, 321,389 people give it 33%.
I thought it was going to be higher because it was going to be like Fanatics.
I thought so too. And I came in and undershot all of it with a 3.0 out of 10. This movie sucks.
Ooh, womp, bum, ba, bum. Sorry, Max.
It's okay.
It's Sam's fault, anyway.
I don't think it is.
Oh.
So, I mean, I made her pick all of them, so eventually I had to show up. And it was just a shame that it was kind of the second one I had to watch. So it is fitting because it's two.
Oh. It's all up from here, people.
Woo!